If you would like to share the reading of God's Word with me this morning, I'm going to invite you to turn with me over to the book of Proverbs, and we're going to read just one single verse from Proverbs chapter 29. So Proverbs chapter 29, and we are going to read verse 18. I'm sure that you are familiar with this particular verse, but I feel like the Holy Spirit has given me some things that He desires for me to bring out to you this morning. So Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 18. When you got it, say amen. Amen. The writer of the book of Proverbs, whom I believe to be Solomon, writes and he says, "Where there is no vision, people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." And I'm going to stop reading there with that one verse. There's a whole lot there that I want to bring out this morning. So if you will bow your heads and let us pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to help me in ministering the word this morning, I would appreciate it. Heavenly Father, we are very grateful today that we have the opportunity to be here in the house of the Lord. We are thankful for this place, and we are thankful for the presence of the Holy Spirit that we have sensed as we have worshiped and as we have sang and as we have praised your name. We come, Lord, to the reading of your word and the explaining of your word, the expounding of your word, the ministering of your word. And I readily admit I am incapable of my own self. I am not adequate to do this. But I pray that you will anoint me with the anointing of your Holy Spirit. I would ask this morning, Heavenly Father, that you would divinely inspire my thoughts, that you would empower what you place in my mouth to speak. I ask this morning, Heavenly Father, that your word would have liberty in the house of God this morning. You said, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Give us liberty to preach this morning and to minister your word. Bless me now to be a blessing. Let your name be exalted and let your people be edified, whether they hear here in this congregation or on the internet. I pray, Lord, that you would touch hearts and lives. And we will be forever grateful and we will be forever thankful. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. Amen. So I want to minister this morning on a subject that I've titled Vision Matters. Last week I preached a message that I entitled Endurance Matters. And at the time that I preached that message last week, I did not realize that God was kind of dropping into my heart a series of things that I feel like He wants me to bring out. And I feel like the Holy Spirit wants me to share with you. So last week I ministered about endurance matters, and I tried and I endeavored to bring out the fact that we need to have a life that is filled with fortitude and perseverance, that we need to have a life that is filled with tenacity, and that we need to keep our eyes upon Christ. Last week I ministered about considering Christ, and when we consider Him and we look at all that He went through and all that He did for us, that it empowers us and it helps us. And so we learned about endurance matters, and we all need to have endurance in our life. This morning I want to share with you about vision, and for the next couple of weeks the Lord's laid several things on my heart that I'm going to be ministering upon. I was sharing this with Houston yesterday, my son Haas, and sharing with him. He said, "Man, those messages will take us right up to Thanksgiving." And Haas is going to be speaking for us on the Thanksgiving weekend. My wife and I are going to be out of town, and so Haas is going to be speaking for us. And he said, "That gives me an idea for a message come around Thanksgiving." So anyway, for the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about things that matter. Our text tells us this morning that where there is no vision, people perish. And I want to read that to you from several different translations this morning. And one of my favorite translations is the God's Word translation. Some folks have never even heard of it. But it is a great translation. It's been out for almost probably 10 years now. It's called God's Word. And it is a word-for-word translation. And this is what the God's Word translation says about that particular verse. It says, where there is no prophetic vision, where there is no prophetic vision, people run wild. But blessed are those who follow God's teachings. The American Standard, another favorite version of mine, the American Standard version, says, where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. People run wild. People cast off restraint. There are no guardrails. There's nothing keeping you focused or in line, if you will. Where there is no prophetic word, where there is no vision, where there is no end target, people cast off restraint. Understand this morning that the word vision carries with it the meaning of foresight, a revelation, an ambition, a goal, an objective, a purpose, an aspiration, an aim, a focus, or a target. And where there is no vision, where there is no target, where there is no objective, where there is no ambition, where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. People cast off self-control. Hello? Where there is no vision, people cast off ambition and become complacent and satisfied with the status quo. There are a lot of people in this world today that have become satisfied with the status quo in their life. How many of you here this morning would like to, I mean, you're grateful what the Lord has done in your life and you're blessed with where you're at, but you would like to see something more in your life. Maybe you're here this morning and you would like to have a closer relationship with your spouse. Maybe you're here and you would like to prosper a little more financially. Maybe you are here and you are tired of just the status quo in your life. I got some good news for you. If you get a vision in your spirit and a vision in your heart and then start working toward that vision, God is able to bring it to pass. But when there is no vision, where there is no focus, where there is no target, where there is no objective, people cast off self-control. People, as the God's Word translation puts it, run wild. The scripture is telling us this morning that if we do not have a vision, if we do not have a purpose, and if we do not understand where it is that we are going, if we do not understand what our objectives are, then life becomes aimless and we will find ourselves lacking self-control to be successful. If we do not have a vision in our life and we do not have a goal before us, then oftentimes we are all over the map. I asked the Lord, how can I illustrate that? This is what he come up with. BSU colors. And I'm not celebrating the win. I'm just trying to make a point. Where there is no self-control, where there is no object, where there is no target, our life gets out of control. And we have no focus, and we are all over the map. And I know people that are just like that. They are all over the map because there is no vision in their spirit. I want to talk this morning about vision matters. If you take and look at those balloons that we just allowed to let go, that is our future life without a vision. That's how your life will go without a vision. And I will tell you something right now this morning. I have met people that have lived their life just like that. They had no vision, no focus, no objectivity. They weren't headed anywhere, and they never arrived anywhere. And then they got to a place in their life where they became old and they became bitter because things didn't turn out like they wanted them to turn out. I don't want to be that way. God does not want us to be that way. God wants us to have a vision in our spirit. And I come to ask you this morning, what do you want for your future? You say, well, Pastor Gary, I don't really have any say in it. You know, my motto is, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. Baloney. That is Oscar Mayer theology. That is baloney. You do have a say in it. But you got to have a vision. Vision matters. Where do you see yourself next year? Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years, the next 10 years? Understand this morning that if we do not have a goal and if we do not have an objective in our life, then it's just going to be, amen, all over the map, and it's just not going to fall into our lap. We have to work for it. If we want something specific out of tomorrow, then we have to do some specific things today. Let me say that again. If you want some specific things out of tomorrow, then there are some specific things that you need to do today. The Bible said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. The Bible tells us this in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, verse 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If he reaps to the flesh, then of the flesh he's going to reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, then of the Spirit you're going to reap life everlasting. What does that scripture mean? It means don't fool yourself. Amen. Whatever you sow today is going to come up tomorrow. Amen. Natural things and spiritual things. And the good news is we are in the driver's seat. If you want some good things coming up tomorrow, then plant the right things today. Hello? If you want some specific things, if you want some specific things in your life, then in order to achieve it, we must stay on target and we must see it to receive it. Vision matters. Understand this morning that I'm not talking about sight. Understand this morning that I'm not talking about sight. I'm talking about vision. There's a difference. Sight is a function of the eyes, and vision is a function of the heart. You hear what I'm saying? Sight is a function of the eyes, but vision is a function of the heart. Vision is the ability to see or to envision the future. Vision is the ability to see into the future and see something that has not yet been manifested. Vision is the ability to see further than your eyes can look. Vision is the ability to see the unseen and know the unknown. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 1 and or chapter 11 and verse number 1, the Bible said, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things that have not yet been seen with the natural eye. The writer is telling us that in order for something to be manifested in this natural realm, then we have got to get it in our spirit first. See, we have our thinking all backwards, beloved. Amen. Oftentimes we think that we have to see it to believe it. That ain't how it works. If you ever get anything from God, I promise you, you will get it in your spirit before it is ever manifested in the natural. Before you get it out here, you got to get it in here. And when you get it in here, even though you do not see it out here, brother, there's something that happens on the inside when you get it in your heart. Amen. When you get it down in your spirit, there ain't a devil in hell that can tell you that it will not come to pass. You can look at the situation and say, I don't care what it believes or what it looks like. I believe God. I believe what the Lord has placed in my heart is going to come to pass. Let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about this morning. I'll give you a natural example, and I will give you a spiritual an example. So the natural example is this. In 1982, when the Epcot Center was finished, 1982, Walt Disney, the visionary, Walt Disney had already died. He had already passed away. The executives of the Disney Corporation asked Mrs. Disney if she would cut the ribbon at the ceremony for the opening of the Epcot Center, 1982. And when she came to the podium to address those that were gathered and to cut the ribbon, one of the executives said to her, Mrs. Disney, I wish that Walt were here to see this today. To which she replied, oh, I assure you, he did. It would have never come to completion if he had never seen it. It would have never come to completion if he hadn't have had a vision for it. That's a natural example. Let me give you a spiritual example. One day Jesus is in a deep conversation with the Pharisees. You will find it in John chapter 8. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and they said to Jesus, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if Abraham were your father, then you would know who I am. You would know where I came from. If Abraham were your father, then you would know me because, and he says this in John chapter 8 and verse 56. He says, your father, because your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And get this, Jesus said, and he saw it and was glad. Now, how did Abraham see it? Abraham had been dead for nearly 4,000 years when Jesus was talking. So how did Abraham see it? I trust that the Lord knew what he was talking about. Can you say amen? He said, if you were of Abraham, your father, then you would know who I am because Abraham saw my day and he was glad. When did he see it? That little statement is so profound and so powerful. When did he see it? I submit to you this morning that Abraham saw it in Genesis chapter 15. And when you go back to Genesis chapter 15, this is what happened. God appears to Abraham and he says to Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. I am your exceeding great reward. And Abraham said to him, amen, I don't even have an heir. And God said, oh, you're going to have an heir. I'm going to give you a son. He said, as a matter of fact, Abraham, I want you to just step out here and look at all of the stars. And if you can count them, I want you to just consider the sands of the sea. And if you could count all of the sands of the sea and all of the stars of the sky, I'm going to bless you with that kind of children. I'm going to give you that kind of an inheritance. I'm going to give you a seed. And he said, and in you, Abraham, all of the families of the earth are going to be blessed. I'm going to give you a seed, Abraham. How many of you know that the Bible says in the New Testament that Jesus is the seed of Abraham? He is the seed of Abraham. So what I'm saying this morning is that Abraham envisioned the day that Messiah would come. Abraham saw it and he was glad because God said to him, I'm going to make you a blessing and in you all of the families of the earth are going to be blessed. And Abraham saw through the eyes of faith and through the eyes of a vision, he saw the Messiah coming and bringing salvation to everyone that would call upon the name of the Lord. Abraham saw it, even though he never received it in the natural. He saw it inside, and God brought it to pass. This morning, I want you to consider four things that I believe are important to us because vision matters, and these four things speak about vision in our life. The first reason that I believe that vision matters is that vision reveals purpose. Vision reveals purpose. If you take anything away from this message this morning, listen carefully to what I am about to say and carry this away with you. God is more concerned about where we are going than where we have been. God is more concerned. Listen, I'm talking about vision reveals purpose. And God is more concerned about where we are going than where we have been. What I'm saying today is that God has a perfect plan and a perfect design for each and every one of us. God has a perfect plan and a perfect purpose for each one of us to fulfill, and vision clarifies that purpose. I'll give you some scripture. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 18, the eyes, Paul said, the eyes of your understanding, not your natural eye, but the eye of your understanding, the eye of the heart, the function of the heart. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Paul is saying that he desires for our vision to be enlightened to the purpose and the plan of God and the hope of his calling that God has placed down in our lives. Romans 8 and 28 says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. God has a divine purpose for all of us. Ephesians 1 and 11 said, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after his own will. His purpose. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9 says, who hath saved us? God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. In other words, God has a plan and God has a purpose for every single one of us sitting here in this place, in this world today. God has a plan and God has a divine purpose for all of us. And he desires for us to fulfill that purpose. And vision matters because vision reveals purpose. Consider what God said to Jeremiah about his purpose. You will read it in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 4 through verse number 5. This is God speaking to Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, then the word of the Lord came unto me saying, this is what God said to him, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before you came out of your mother's womb, I had a plan for you, Jeremiah. While you were in the belly and I formed thee, before you came out of your mother's womb, I sanctified you and I ordained you to be a prophet unto the nation. In other words, God had a plan for Jeremiah and God had a specific purpose for Jeremiah to fulfill. Consider Joseph. God told Joseph in Genesis chapter 37, there was coming a day that his family was going to bow down before him and reverence him. And when the family got wind of it, they didn't like it. And Joseph went through all kind of hell and high water. But I'm going to tell you, the Bible tells us, if you're a student of the Bible, that the day came when all of Joseph's family bowed before him in reverence. And he saved their lives. You can read about it in Genesis 37, or 20, chapter 37, all through those verses. Consider Gideon. God told Gideon in Judges chapter 6 while he was hiding and threshing wheat in the wine press. Now get this. Gideon is afraid and he is hiding from the enemy and he's trying to thresh some wheat so he can survive, and he's hiding in the wine press. And an angel of the Lord showed up and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, you mighty man of valor. Really? Gideon must have thought, what do you mean, mighty man of valor? Here I am hiding like a coward in front of the enemy, and you want to show up and call me a mighty man of valor? But listen, the whole truth of the matter is that God is more concerned about where we are going than where we are. God is more concerned about where we are going than where we've been. I come to tell somebody this morning that God is more concerned about where he desires to take you than where you've been and what you have been hung up on. God wants to take you from there to here and bless your life. God has a specific plan and a specific person, or a specific purpose, that's hard to say, for your life. Vision gives us destiny. Vision keeps us on track. Vision keeps us motivated. And vision reveals the purpose of God for our life. Number one, amen. Number one is vision reveals purpose. Number two, vision, the second thing that I want to share with you is vision determines our destiny. Vision determines our destiny. Let that sink into your spirit. Vision will dictate where you wind up. And I will just tell you this morning that we shouldn't have a small vision. And I'll tell you why. Because we serve a really big God. And oftentimes we confine God in this little box because we have this minute vision. And God wants us to break out and have a large vision and believing for the impossible.
We shouldn't aim small this morning. Vision determines destiny, and all too often we limit God by our own small-minded thinking. And what I am saying is often that we hinder God's ability to work in our life because our vision is set too low. Our vision is too small. One of the saddest scriptures in the Word of God is found in Psalms chapter 78 and verse number 41. And this is what it says. Psalm 78 verse 41. This is what it says. It says, "Yea, they turned back and they tempted God and they limited the Holy One of Israel." The "they" that the scripture is talking about is the children of Israel. They turned back and they tempted God and they limited the Holy One of Israel. How sad that they limited the ability of God to work in their life, happening every day. There are people every day that is limiting God working in their life. It's a tragedy. It's sad. Here are the children of Israel. Just think about this for a moment. Here are the children of Israel. They have been delivered out of Egypt's bondage. They watched God with a mighty hand as he delivered them. He sent plagues, frogs, hail, lice. I mean, he just with a mighty, rivers turning to blood, all sorts of things. And finally, Pharaoh said, "Get out of here." That's a loose white translation. "Go." And they went. And they get to the banks of the Red Sea, and Pharaoh is closing in because he decided he would come after them. And God says, "Moses, lift up your staff." And when he did, God parted the Red Sea, and they went across on dry ground. That is powerful stuff. They saw it with their own eyes. They got on the other side and they said, "We're hungry." God said, "I got you covered." And he rained bread out of heaven, 15 tons a day, 15 tons of bread out of heaven. Amen. You want to talk about wonder bread? When he sent the manna, it was a wonder. And every morning, all they had to do was go out and pick it up. When they got thirsty, God said, "Moses, smite the rock," and water came out of the rock, and they drank freely. They saw it. They partook of it. And 1 year and 3 months later, they are standing on the banks of the Jordan River, poised to go in to take the promised land. And the spies come back. 10 of them brought back an evil report, said, "We can't do it. There are giants over there. It's a good land, but we will never have it." Two of them said, "We got it. If God is on our side, let's go get it." And the people believed an evil report, a faith-destroying evil report. And they tempted God, and they turned back, and they refused to go in. Why? Because they limited God's power. They said, "God has brought us this far, but we don't think he's big enough to cause us to inherit the promised land." And they turned around and went back. How sad. They allowed their vision to become too small. They had seen the power of God deliver them, but they couldn't find it in their heart to believe that God could take care of the giants and that they could go in and possess the land. And they allowed their small-minded vision to determine their destiny. And for 40 years, they would wander in the wilderness until all of that unbelieving generation would die off. And they never inherited what God said they could have, all because their vision was too small. Amen. Stop thinking too small-minded this morning. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20, "Unto him that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Now understand, there is a joint operation right there. Ephesians 3 and 20 is telling us that God is able to do exceeding, abundant, above all. How many of you know that just keeps going up?
exceeding abundant above all that we could ask or think, according, hello, according to the power that works in us. If you can't see it, you will never have it. If you can look the impossible in the eye and say, I don't care what it looks like, God has told me everything's going to be all right. I don't care what it feels like. God has assured me. I know that I know down in my knower, it may look bad. It may be bleak, but I believe that, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that I have committed unto him. Brother, God is able to do exceeding and abundant above all you can ask for or believe for, according to the power that works in you. So don't let the power that works in you be a small-minded vision. God is bigger than your dreams. God can do exceeding and abundantly above all that you ask or think. And the third thing that I feel like the Holy Spirit wants me to share is that you are perfect for your vision. You are absolutely perfectly suited for your vision. You are perfect for your vision. You cannot do what I do. I cannot do what you do. And the good news is that we weren't called to do someone else's job. We were called to do what God has purposed for us to do. You hear what I'm saying this morning? We are not all the eye. Paul likens us to a body. He calls us the body of Christ. We are not all the eye. We are not all the ear. We are not all the foot. But when we are jointly brought together by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and we are all in our place, and we are all doing what God has called us to do, then we function as one, and we are united in one another and in Christ, and we become effective for the work of the kingdom of God. Stop thinking this morning that you are not adequate. Quit enough to do what God has called you to do. You are absolutely perfect for what God has called you to do, because he is the one that's called you to do it. And he created you specifically to fulfill that niche. Stop wishing for someone else's vision. Stop wishing that you were someone else. Stop wishing that you had someone else's talents and someone else's giftings. You are perfectly and wonderfully made. The Bible said that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And who made you? God Almighty made you in the very image of God. And he created you uniquely to fill your place. Understand that you are not here by happenstance. Understand that you are not here by accident. God made you, brought you into this fallen world, and then God walked by the heap of humanity and said, I want that one. Amen. You want scripture for that? I'll give you King James, John 15:16. Jesus said, you have not chosen me. You think you're here because you chose him? No. No, you are here because he chose you. You are here because he walked by and said, I want that one, and I'm not going to let go of them, and I'm not going to, amen, turn, my Holy Spirit is going to continue to draw them until they say yes. I heard their grandmama's prayer. I heard their mama's prayer. I heard their uncle's prayer. I heard their daddy's prayer. And I'm not going to turn them loose, but I am going to put a hook in their jaw, turn them around, and I got something for them to do.
You have not chosen me, but I chose you, Jesus said. And I ordained. That word ordained means that I have already determined what I have for you to do. I have ordained that you should go forth and bear fruit. In Jeremiah 29:11, he said, God says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, and I know the thoughts that I have to, and the plans that I have for you, and they are thoughts of peace and not evil, and I have plans to give you an expected end. God is saying that I have a specific work for you, and I created you and chose you, and only you can do what I've called you to do. Stop wishing that you had somebody else's walk. Last week we talked about Paul talking about running a race and being in the race of life. Get in your own lane and run. Don't get in somebody else's lane. You'll just be in the way. Maybe I should duck when I preach that. Stay in your lane. God has specifically anointed you to do what he's called you to do. You are perfect. You are perfect for your vision. This is not a season in your life to be comparing yourself with someone else. It is not a season in your life to be feeling sorry for yourself. This is not a season in your life to lose sight of God's plan and God's purpose for your life. It's not a season to get down on yourself because you're not as far along as you thought you should be. Amen. It's not a season to look down on yourself. No. This is the season to get in the right lane and begin to run and begin to fulfill the purpose that God has planned for you all along. God is more concerned about where you're going than where you've been. He wants to take you from point A to point B. I came to tell somebody this morning that you've got too much living, amen, to do. You've got too much things that you need to get done before you go. You've got too much purpose. You've got too much destiny. You've got too much to gain. You are perfect for your God-given vision. Stop wishing you were somebody else. God has a plan for you. The fourth thing that I want to bring out this morning and share with you is that vision requires action. Vision requires action. So how can we get a vision of what God is wanting to do in our life? Number one, we need to give our heart to the Lord. We need to make a commitment to live. Not just on Sunday, but 7 days a week. We need to make a commitment to live our life in a way that honors Jesus. And then the first thing that we need to do for vision to become a reality is we need to pray. How many of you believe this morning that the manufacturer of a product knows more about the product than anyone else? Right? Men are notorious for taking it out of the box. I don't need them. And I got to tell you, sometimes they're in Japanese and I don't need them. Hello? But I submit to you this morning that the manufacturer that made the product knows more about the product than we do. So the first thing that we need to do is pray and ask the manufacturer. He created us. He made us. He knows us more than we know ourselves. I have said for many years, the Bible said that he has the very hairs of our head numbered. And I've said for years, those that are turning gray and those that are turning loose, and I got both. He knows the very count of the hairs upon our head. So just maybe he knows more about my heart than I do. But when we pray, God will begin to illuminate our vision and begin to illuminate our purpose and our destiny that He has planned for us. Those of you that are part of Elevation Worship Center, you know that when I was a very young man, my desire was to be a music entertainer. I traveled all over the United States with a group called Gary White, the Countryman. We did country rock, rock and roll. We played honky-tonks, we played nightclubs, we played bars, we played fairs, rodeos, front shows. I mean, and I had a record contract with Caprice Records. I don't even know if they're still in business. But I had a record contract with Caprice Records. And something down on the inside of me was just empty. Had money, had a good wife, had notoriety. I've seen my name on a billboard 6 feet tall. Gary White and the Countryman. You would think that there would be some kind of satisfaction in all of that. Well, I got to tell you, there really is not. It is a fleeting satisfaction. And all along, God had something else in mind. I just wanted to sing music, do my thing. I love the Lord. I knew about the Lord. I was raised in a church. I was raised in a Pentecostal church. I knew about the Lord. My mom and daddy were praying people. I knew about God. I knew the gospel. But I was just chasing my own dream. And my own dream kept leading me further and further away from God. Coming back from Grand Junction, Colorado. We were coming back home to Emmett, Idaho. We were going to be just taking a couple of weeks off. I was trying to find something to listen. My wife was with me. We're trying to find something to listen to on the radio station. We were around Twin Falls. There's a gospel station in Twin Falls, and I don't know if it's still there. This was in the early 80s. But I come across this gospel station, and I heard the disc jockey say, we're going to be playing a brand new live album by the Henson family. And I thought to myself, I told my wife, I know these people. I grew up listening to these people. They used to come to my daddy's church when I was a little kid, and they would sing. I know who they are. I just want to listen for a little while and see what they sound like. And the more I listened, and the more the Holy Spirit began to deal with my heart, and the anointing that was upon that music, and the presence of the Lord began to deal with me, and God began to speak to my spirit. He said, you happy? I had to say, not really. Not really. There's a dissatisfaction in my heart. I don't know what it is. I got things pretty good. I was all blown up and ready to go. Like the balloons, I was loaded. I was ready. Something in my spirit began to have a longing to feel the touch of God. The Lord just gently spoke to my heart. He said, listen, son, you've tried it your way. You've tried it your way. Why don't you try it my way? If you will ask me, I will give you a drink of water that will satisfy the thirst of your soul. I pulled off the side of the road right around Mountain Home somewhere. Tears running down my face. My wife looked at me and said, what's the matter? I said, I just feel like I need to pray. Pulled off the side of the road and I said, Lord, if you will come into my heart, I'll never look back. If you will come into my heart and forgive me of all of the mess that I have made, I'll never turn around and I'll never go back. And Jesus came into my heart and satisfied my spirit. I had no idea that He would call me to preach. Furthest thing from my mind. But when I gave my heart to the Lord, He began to show me, this is what I got planned for you. This is what I want you to walk in. And I tried to convince Him, you are wrong. You got the wrong guy. Hello? What I'm saying this morning is when you yield your heart to the Lord and you yield your life to Him, He will reveal His plans for you. He will give you vision. He will give you vision, and vision brings purpose, and vision brings destiny, and vision brings the presence of God. So pray, inquire of the manufacturer. Number two, set some achievable goals. Set some achievable goals. How many of you know you do not start out at the top of the ladder? You start out one success at a time. One success at a time. Set some achievable goals. When God begins to place in your spirit that vision, then that vision might be much bigger than you. When God called me to preach, I tried to convince him, Lord, you got the wrong person. That's way out of my league. I will never do that. The Lord said, just follow me. Just follow me. Just follow me. I'll show you, you can do some stuff that you don't even know you can do. Hello? One step at a time. Bob Seger has a song called Little Victories. I'm dating myself. This goes way back. Bob Seger has a song called Little Victories. And what he's talking about is just one step at a time. One little victory at a time. One little achievable goal at a time. Don't look at the big picture. Just trust God to get you there. And God will take you there one step at a time. Nothing happens overnight. I remembered when I finally settled it in my spirit that God was calling me to preach. When I finally settled it in my spirit, I knew I could feel the Lord dealing with me, and people would come by and pat me on the back and go, "How you doing, preacher?" And I'd go, "I'm not a preacher. Don't call me preacher." And finally I said, "Okay, Lord, I gotta settle this." I went on a 30-day fast. Around day 21, I was in my prayer closet and I was praying, and I've shared this in the distant past, but I was praying, and right at the bottom of my feet, I saw this vision, and right at the bottom of my feet, a fire began to burn, and it just shot up my body. It was as if I was standing here, and there was this great light coming off of the throne of God, and it wasn't a natural thing. It was a spiritual thing. I knew it wasn't a Gary thing. I knew it was a God thing. And right at the bottom of my feet, a fire began to blow up, I was just engulfed in this flame. The flames were shooting 35, 40 feet above my head, and I wasn't hurt, I wasn't harmed, and I had no idea what God was trying to show me. And I said to the Lord, "I don't even know what this is. I don't even know what you're saying." And God spoke to me just like I'm speaking to you right now. He said, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 7, "I make my angels spirits and my ministers a flame of fire. You go and I'll go with you. You open your mouth and I'll put something in it that'll bless my people." You hear what I'm saying? When God calls you, he will equip you. One step at a time, one step at a time. When I got up from that prayer session, I'm like, "Okay, I am called to preach." So let the phone ring and I'll go preach. And the phone didn't ring. Hello? Well, God knew I wasn't ready to go anywhere. But for 3.5 years, he just kept me in the local church, and I led worship, and I did this, and I did that, and I preached occasionally, and all the while, God was giving me little achievable victories, but he had something in mind. He was taking me somewhere. You see what I'm saying this morning? God is able to give you vision and then cause you to have little victories along the way, so set some achievable goals. And then begin to work for it. And keep it in front of you. Keep focused on it. Because if you don't stay focused on it, without vision, people perish. Without vision, you get sidetracked. Without vision, you get off track. Number three, exercise faith and look for God's help. Exercise your faith and look for God's help. God has an invested interest in your success. If it is God's plan and God's purpose, then just understand that God has an invested interest in you succeeding. Doesn't it make sense this morning that if it is God's purpose and God's plan, then God is willing to help? Right? So exercise your faith as you work toward your goals, as you work toward your target. Number four, don't let the past determine your future. Don't let the past determine your future. Say, well, Pastor Gary, I tried this and I tried that and it didn't work out and I failed. Failure does not have to be final. Failure does not have to be fatal. Don't allow your past to dictate the quality of your future. Paul the Apostle says these words in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 12 through verse number 14. He said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. In verse 13, he said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, I haven't achieved my final goal yet. I have not yet apprehended. But he said, this one thing I do, not these 40 things I dabble in, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, whether they are failure, whether they are mistakes, whether they are victory, whatever it is, I forget those things that are behind me and I reach forth unto those things that are before me. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God that's in Christ Jesus. What I'm saying this morning is don't let your past failures hold you back. And if you will dare to do that, if you are willing to forget about your past mistakes and put them under the blood and willing to come before the Lord and ask Him to give your life some direction and give your life some focus and give your life, amen, some vision and purpose, God will come alongside you and God will begin to reveal to you what it is that He desires for you and what it is that He desires to do in your life. Some of us, all we are looking for is what God can do for us instead of what we can do for God. Stop looking at what God can do for you and stop looking at what you can do for the Lord. Hallelujah. Vision reveals purpose. Vision determines destiny. You are absolutely perfectly made exclusively for your God-given vision. Your vision will require action if it is ever to come into fruition. Your vision must have some action, or else we are just like the balloons all over the map. All over the map. I want to just read this one little thing to you this morning, and then I'm going to get out of your way. 1845, the First Baptist Church in Augusta, Georgia. A group of visionaries organized the Southern Baptist Convention. As a tribute to the faith of the founding fathers, the church placed an inscription in the building, and it reads this: dedicated to men who see the invisible, hear the inaudible, believe the incredible, and think the unthinkable. That's the kind of individual that we need to be. To men who see the invisible, hear the inaudible. I feel the Holy Spirit speaking to some of you right now. Men who believe the incredible and think the unthinkable. Those kind of individuals. Those kind of individuals are individuals that have vision, that have purpose, that bring forth the plan of God. Understand this morning that your future is not just ahead of you, but your future lies within you. Would you bow your heads, please? Your future is not just ahead of you, but your future lies inside of you. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I am grateful this morning that you helped me to speak the word that I feel like you have laid upon my heart for today. There are individuals in our congregation this morning, Lord, that have not given much thought to vision, purpose, or destiny. And because of that, their life is a little off track. Help us to understand today, Lord, that you have a purpose, a divine plan for every single one of us. Help us to understand this morning, Lord, that the only thing that will reveal that purpose is vision. Open the eyes of our understanding, not the natural eye, but the spiritual eye, the eye of the heart, that we may see where it is that you desire to take us. Help us to understand that you are more concerned about where we are going than where we have been. Help us to understand this morning, Lord, that for that vision to come to pass, then action is going to be required. And help us to take action this morning, I pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed, and we pray in the name of Jesus. Are you here this morning and you would be willing to slip up a hand and say, Pastor Gary, I'm one of those folks that you talked about that really haven't given much thought to the future. I haven't really given, but God sees you, yeah. God sees you. God sees your hand. Pastor Gary, I'm one of those individuals that really haven't given much thought to purpose. I haven't given much thought to destiny. I've just sort of been living life as it falls. God sees you. God sees your hand. Are you here this morning and you would be willing to slip your hand up and say, Pastor Gary, I needed to hear this message this morning. It blessed my heart. God bless you. Yes, yes. Stand to your feet all over the building, if you will, please. They're going to come and lead us in another worship. They're going to come lead us in another worship song. Let me pray with those that lifted their hands. Lord, I thank you for those that slipped up their hand and said, I just needed to hear this word. It touched my heart. And for those, Lord, that lifted their hand that said, I haven't given much thought to purpose or destiny or vision, I pray this morning, Lord, that you will begin to peel the scales off of the eyes of their understanding. Speak to their spirit this morning and give them instruction and open the eyes of their understanding that they may see the divine purpose of God in their life. And help them to understand, Lord, we are never too old. Help them to understand we're never too far away for you to pick us up, put us in the race, and cause us to fulfill the will of God for our life. Speak to their hearts this morning, Lord. Encourage their spirit this morning, I pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask it. Come and sing. Come and sing.